I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network. Today we have an unusual show, not my typical book review, but a celebration and discussion of the Best in Show winners from this summer's American Cheese Society's yearly judging competition of about 1,800 cheeses. This year's conference was in Des Moines, the end of July. Also in studio, I'm pleased to have Elizabeth Chubbuck.
Hello.
From Murray's, and PJ from Murray's.
Hi.
Do you have a last name?
Jen Kalunas.
Ah, okie dokie. Related to?
Not many people.
His father.
Not a cheese person. Not a cheese person.
I don't think so.
Okay, no. Okay. Murray's won, tied for best in show third.
Woohoo!
With Greensward cheese, which is right in front of me. I'm kind of drooling as I look at the label. Anyway, I want to first briefly explain the cheese competition and how it works for our less intimately involved listeners. There were about 1,800 cheeses. I believe it was more than ever. They're all sent to Des Moines to compete in about 108 categories. Some obvious categories, but many more than you could possibly imagine. For example, there are 7 blue cheese categories. There's cow, goat, and sheep. There's mixed or other milk. There's other less popular categories like low fat, low salt. And there's 17 flavored cheese categories, which no one really likes to have to eat. But anyway, you can imagine how tough it is to receive and then mark by number, because you have to take off the cheese label and the company and then get organized 1,800 cheeses for the judging. And then you have an aesthetic and a technical judge. Every cheese is judged on a 50-point each scale, so it turns out to be 100 is the top. And then all the first place winners in categories, which could be up to 108 cheeses, are in a round where all the judges, which I think this year was 42, all the judges vote and mark their favorites for best in show. So it's very serious and very hard to win, and an extremely respected achievement to get up to best in show. It's pretty great to get best in the category, too, but really, best in show is amazing. So today's show we're going to do in two parts. First, we're going to talk to the people from Murray's to see what it's like to win and make the winning cheese. And then I taped some interviews in Des Moines with the winners the day after they won. So I'll talk about that right before the break. Okay, so, Elizabeth, you were there.
I was there.
What was it like?
You know, I was sitting in the audience and cheering for all of the beloved cheeses that had won awards in the preceding categories. And by the time, you know, Greensward also won a first place in its category, but that award came so late in the ceremony that I was completely, I'd thought, oh, I guess we didn't win anything. So caught off guard and excited, and then figured, that's it. What a celebration. This is amazing.
Did you know you had a chance for best in show? Did you know how the particulars of how it worked?
You know, I have to say there it hadn't even occurred to me. It had not even occurred to me. And so when they were calling out the best in show and Greensward was the cheese, I mean, I think I must have jumped out of my seat, thrown my hands in the air and screamed.
And then ran up to get the award.
And then ran up to get the award. Luckily, Matteo Keeler from Jasper Hill was sitting within the first couple of rows. Without Jasper Hill and Matteo's partnership on this cheese, it wouldn't even be in existence. And
but you needed him that day.
Oh, I need
to go up on the stage.
Yeah, we ran up there together, and the rest of it was kind of a blur.
Now, how long, PJ, how long has this cheese been existing?
In its current format, I mean, it's changed. It's evolved over the years.
Yes.
It's been around for 4 years.
Now, do you mean Harbison or the Special Murray's version?
The Greensward.
Okay. Okay. And what is it washed with? How soon do you get it from the cellars, and what do you do that makes it unique?
So we get it pretty much fresh out of the molds.
Mm-hmm.
From Jasper Hill.
So very soon.
Yeah. They basically cryovac it when mm-hmm. it's fresh.
Mm.
They send it over to us, and we take it from there.
So. Okay.
And PJ, am I correct to remember that the batches of Harbison that they are sending for Greensward are not inoculated with Penicillium candidum?
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
So it's the same recipe as Harbison, but it doesn't have any of that bloomy mold added to the milk at production time.
Okay, so you are sort of, it's a blank slate, in other words.
It's a blank slate.
Okay.
You know, the creation story of this cheese is pretty exciting.
I want to hear it.
Okay, cool. about 4.5, maybe 5 years ago, Daniel Hum of 11 Madison Park mm-hmm. came to us and was interested in having us create a custom cheese to go on their New York inspired or their New York themed restaurant menu.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Aaron Foster, who was working with us at Murray's at the time, and Vince was over at Jasper Hill, and Zoe and Matteo. And we all kind of put our heads together and thought what cheese might work as the base component of a washed rind cheese that would be washed in a beer that was being custom brewed for them.
Mm.
And we spent about 10 months doing R&D to come up with Greensward.
That means drinking beer and eating cheese.
Pretty much. And sitting around a table.
Fancy R&D.
Yeah, sitting around a table with some of your dear friends and just, yeah.
Right.
Living well.
What beers, what kind of beers were tested? What didn't work at first?
So Ithaca, Ithaca Brewery
mm-hmm.
was...
Flower Power?
That was not the beer that they used.
Okay, but that's the one that makes Flower Power.
I believe so.
Okay.
They were creating a custom, I believe it was an IPA, a custom IPA for 11 Madison Park's menu.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, the beer had not been brewed. We would sit around and we were tasting beers that were sort of what they were aiming for, but didn't actually have a finished product. And we were tasting cheeses that were sort of what we were aiming for, but didn't have a finished product, and saying, I wonder how they'd get down together in the dark caves.
Was this a monthly meeting?
Monthly.
Was it weekly? At night? Was it at night?
No, it happened during business hours.
Oh, okay.
So it was interesting. So we spent about 10 months doing R&D and then launched the cheese on the menu at 11 Madison Park. And it was actually Labor Day weekend of 2012. So 4 years ago, almost exactly.
Mm, okay.
And it was the only cheese that ran on their menu for a year and a half.
And how much was made for them?
Oh, goodness. I mean, we were making, I think, probably maybe 300 pieces a week.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not quite that much, but it was a significant volume of cheese.
Mm-hmm. Ah. So, and was that has it stayed the same, or do you think it's changed, PJ?
Well, I guess the first thing that changed is we've started using a cider.
Oh, okay.
So we use a cider from Vermont for the mm-hmm. current wash.
Mm.
And then besides that, I think our kind of philosophy of what we want the rind to be like has changed.
Okay. What did you change to?
So I think when I got to Murray's, maybe about almost 2 years ago, it was much more of a sticky, pretty intense washed rind.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of...
Like Harbison can be.
Like
yellowish.
More washed, so like more orange, more sticky. Mm-hmm. More
almost funky. Like a nepoisse, like the same kind of texture and moisture content as a nepoisse. Super funky.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've kind of pulled back. We a little more of the mold shine through, and I think it's become more approachable. Mm-hmm. The flavors are...
Does it last longer at the restaurant?
I think so, a little bit.
Do they still use it, the same restaurant?
11 Madison Park has changed their concept. They had a very strong run with the cheese for a year and a half and then evolved onto other things, but it is now on restaurant menus across New York City. You can find it right now at Cheese Bar. They're doing a summer fondue, a whole piece of Harbison gently heated with things to dip into it. Mm-hmm.
And Greensward, the name, I can't remember what it means.
Greensward was the code word that was used to describe the plan for Central Park before Central Park came into existence. So Aaron Foster and Vince sort of together, you know, over GChat and emails and snarky text messages probably came up with that name because it was going into a picnic basket course in 11 Madison Park's menu. And so it was sort of like a picnic in Central Park. But also the cheese arrived at Murray's in New York City green, and it was our ward. I distinctly remember Aaron Foster telling me
good
that.
Good old Aaron. Thank you.
God bless him.
So how many cheeses do you age, do you do collaborations on?
PJ and I were just talking about this. I think we have about 10 currently.
With different cheesemakers.
Yeah, I mean, we're always working on something. We have about maybe 30 cheeses in our caves. And then, yeah, probably around 10 of them are like, serious collaborations where we do our own.
You're doing a twist and watching it carefully.
Yeah.
And doing a twist in the caves at Murray's these days means starting with green cheese.
Okay.
We're not taking things that are already aged and doing something slightly different. We're really taking cheeses that would go one direction in someone else's caves, and we're steering them in a very different direction.
That's a good idea. Why did you change to that?
We used to have a broad variety of cheeses in the caves, and there was a lot of labor that went into it, and we noticed that we didn't always make a distinct impact. And so we really wanted to...
Start fresh.
We wanted to distinguish the things that we were doing in our caves. We wanted to be able to make our mark on them. Mm-hmm. And so the 10 cheeses that we have in what we call the Cave Master Collection, so Greensward being sort of the crown jewel of the Cave Master Collection, but those 10 cheeses are collaborations where we're working directly with producers from Old Chatham, Sheep Herding Company, Point Reyes, Creamery.
Oh, even in California?
Even in California. PJ and Steve Millard, who's our vice president of merchandising, have actually been making cheese, doing some gypsy cheese making.
Where is the gypsy cheese making going on?
Any creamery that'll give us space.
Oh, okay.
No, PJ can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of fun for us in the caves. My background is in cheese making a little bit, so I always like to get out there and put my hands in the curds.
In the curd, okay, great.
A big project we're working on now is we're developing a cheddar. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing that with Old Chatham Sheep Herding Company. Mm-hmm.
Big?
It's a big truckle.
Cloth bound.
Cloth bound.
They are binding and larding in the caves.
Wow.
Right over there in
that's
Queens.
That's exciting. Now, I was going to ask, the caves used to be below ground in the village. Are they still there, or have the caves moved themselves to Long Island City?
Well, the space that we used to, where we used to age cheese underneath the shop in Bleecker, exists today.
Yes.
And it is used for storage for our kitchen.
So there's no cheese in there?
No, there's no cheese in there. All the cheese is now in Long Island City. About 3.5 years ago, we built brand new caves in those spaces. We now have 4 different aging chambers and a drying room. And
was that a more fancy set of caves or a more perfect set of caves?
More effective.
Okay, yes, that was the word I was
looking for. More sophisticated, certainly. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot about what it means to age cheese effectively. Mm-hmm. And the caves that we have in Long Island City are pretty killer. Killer's not the right word. They're pretty cool is what I want to say.
Right, they don't kill. They cool cheese. Right. They don't kill it.
They're rock and roll. They're rocking and rolling. They're it's a great operation.
That's cool. So do you work there?
Oh, yeah.
PJ, so, you're only in Long Island City?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you the cave master?
Yeah, cave master, manager, yeah.
PJ's being modest. He runs the show over there. He's got some great help as well, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Now, I want to, we're almost out of time. I have to tell people who I'll be interviewing from Des Moines next after the break. I interview Sean Doherty, who got second place for Buff Blue from Bleeding Heart. I then interview Jeff Jurek for Jeff Select Gouda from the Caves of Faribault in Minnesota. And then I do Chris Roelli, or Riley, whose new Little Mountain won this year for Best in Show from Raleigh Cheese Company. And that's quite amazing, too. And I missed out on the people who did St. Malachy's Reserve from Farm at Doe Run, because I never ran into them. So that you'll be hearing those interviews straight from Des Moines, straight from the day after they won. They're pretty excited, perhaps hungover, I don't know. And this is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd. Thank you, PJ. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Diane.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by Teeth People, and this one's called Poetry Is Dead. That's why I like her a lot. And she don't know that she's her own female. She's her own female, and she don't know that's why I like her. Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin produces the world's best cheese, period. Why? Lush grasslands, glacial water supply, fourth generation cheesemakers, combining old world tradition with the new ideas and highest standards. The very best milk. What do you think of when you think of Wisconsin cheese? For me, I think cheese curds, delicious fresh cheese curds, or deep fried cheese curds. Cheese curds literally any way, anytime, any place. I think about Andy Hatch and Upland's Cheese Company, the operation behind the Pleasant Ridge Reserve cheese that's literally America's most awarded cheese. I think of the deliciously stinky Limburger and its long-storied history. I think about Raleigh's Dumbarton Blue, a perfect blend of English-style cheddar and notes of blue. I think of Emmy Roth's Grand Cru Sirchois, which was named 2016's World Champion at the World Championship Cheese Contest. Wisconsin is like the world champion of cheese, and once you start reading the list of cheeses made in Wisconsin on their website, you can see why. The Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board is a nonprofit organization funded entirely by Wisconsin's dairy farm families. Read more at eatwisconsincheese.com. And as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, eat Wisconsin cheese. It's a no-brainer.
Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd in Des Moines at the American Cheese Society meeting. I'm sitting here with Shauna Doherty, one of the winners of Best in Show last night at the from the competition, and she's from Bleeding Heart Cheese in California, and her Buff Blue won second best place in the entire show. We call it Best in Show. She came in second.
Yes.
Congratulations, Shauna.
Thank you very much. It's a big deal.
You must be delighted.
I am ecstatic. Uh-huh. I was shaking, I was crying, and I'm still a little bit in shock.
So as you sit down at the award ceremony, before you have any information, what are you thinking? Do you think certain cheeses might have a chance? Are you rooting for them? How many cheeses had you put in competition?
So we submitted six cheeses this year, mm-hmm. and we won awards for four of them.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. As far as do you know when one's going to win, you never know, because every year the cheeses are different. The other cheese makers' entries are different. The judges are different.
Right.
You always worry about, you know, whether your cheese made it there safely when you have to ship it overnight in the middle of summer.
Right. Will it be in good shape?
Yeah. Will it be in good shape? You know, there's all those concerns. I can honestly say that when I tasted that batch of Buff Blue,
you thought
I literally sat in the creamery. I cut open a wheel. I took a bite and I just kind of leaned back in my chair and just said out loud, "Oh wow."
Oh, good. So you had a feeling. It was really good.
I knew that was the best batch of Buff Blue I'd ever made.
Oh, excellent.
And
I'm getting goosebumps.
And I kept eating more and more. And I had to stop myself because I had so many other cheeses I need to taste to make my competition selections.
Right.
But I did know that that was a really good batch.
Oh, cool.
And there was another batch made the week prior that was very, very good as well. So I had to choose between the two.
Uh-huh.
And I think I picked the right one, obviously. but, you know, yeah, you always hope that your cheeses are going to win something.
Mm-hmm.
But to win a best of show placing at a competition like the American Cheese Society.
1,800 cheeses, by the way.
Yes, over 1,800 entries seems like, of course, everybody dreams of this.
Right.
I've been making cheese for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and this is my sixth time coming to ACS. This is only our third time entering the competition, though.
Oh, okay. You came without entering first.
Yes.
To learn or to...
Yeah, just to network and to learn. Mm-hmm. And I always thought the competition was so exciting. And, you know, I always thought one day that would be so amazing to ever get just any best of show placing at all.
Right,
you know, not necessarily to win first, you know, which that would be awesome, too.
Right.
But to get a best of show placing is something that, you know, my husband is my business partner. His name is Dave Dalton. And I've always told him for years, you know, I won't really feel confident and saying that I think I'm a good cheesemaker, that I've arrived as a cheesemaker until I get a best of show place at ACS.
Now, I have a question. Did you have other cheeses? Do you know that when you get first in a category, then you're in the running for best in show?
Yes. So I think every cheesemaker that enters this competition is fully aware of how it works.
Right. And then you're like, so your anxiety goes up when you get the first. You realize, oh my God, I might win best in show.
Yeah. So when a cheese does win first place in its category, then you realize it does have a shot.
Right.
But there's so many other amazing cheeses that you're competing against.
And you hear them as you're sitting there.
Yeah. So you're sitting there and you're going, okay, well, that one won first, though there's no chance mine's gonna get best of show, and I really didn't. I just didn't think that it would happen.
It's a lot of competition.
It's a lot of competition. I knew that wheel was good, but all the other cheeses are so... I mean, the bar goes up every year.
Yay to American cheese.
Yes, yay to American cheese. And for that cheese in particular, because it's water buffalo milk, I didn't even know how it would fare in judging, because I don't know if anybody really knows how to evaluate water buffalo blue cheese. Because
I did not know it was water buffalo.
It's water buffalo
That's
milk.
Why it's called buffalo.
I believe we might be the first cheese company to ever win a best of show for a water buffalo cheese, but you'd have to double check with the ACS staff on that.
Not all your cheeses are water buffalo.
No, we make sheep milk cheese, cow milk cheese. We do some mixed milk that does include goat as well, and then the water buffalo cheese. Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Buff Blue because that was my R&D name when I was doing some test batches.
Incredible.
And so I just kept that name.
I thought Buff was like... You know,
it's
it was buff.
Buffalo. It's water buffalo milk.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. So you might be right. It could be the first. I'll have to do some investigating.
Yeah, I actually wasn't able to enter that cheese when I first made it, the first year I made it, because they didn't have a category. So I had to write to ACS and ask them. So there's a category for blue cheeses that's sheep milk or mixed milk. And so I asked them if they could just add on other.
Oh, okay. And they did.
So that I could enter it. And they did. They changed it. And so last year, I was able to enter it, and it came in third.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it came in first and went on to be the second best in the competition.
Wow. So if you were giving an Oscar thank you speech, who would you thank? Who are the top people?
Well, of course, my husband. Mm-hmm. You're going to make me cry.
They can't see it on the radio.
They can't see it. Okay, so I'll try not to crack my voice. My husband, Dave Dalton, is an amazing partner mm-hmm. and been so supportive. And, you know, we're a small company, so I also have to really thank Kevin and Aaron, who are mm-hmm. the only two other employees besides myself.
Excellent. That's small.
Yeah,
okay.
That's small. Whoa. You know, Aaron picks up the milk. I make the cheese. Kevin helps me make the cheese. Aaron and Kevin together do the affinage. They pierce the cheese. They hand salt the cheese uh-huh. over a period of days. I work with them to make sure the wheels are getting brushed and turned often enough. And,
right.
you know, we work. It's like a family. Right. We're like a little
so
family.
So this is like sort of ACS means to promote small artisan cheesemakers. I mean, this is so cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how big the other companies are that one, but I'm pretty sure we're probably the smallest.
Right. Okay. Now, you've been through some very tough times. So
yes.
It seemed that you have a very good, people really reacted to your winning. They're delighted for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the tough times?
Yes. I've been very open about talking about our struggles. Mm-hmm. In December of 2014, we had a recall mm-hmm. and had to destroy our entire cheese inventory. Mm-hmm. And it was financially devastating. We almost went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I had to pull a ton of money out of our retirement accounts to keep the business
I'm
afloat.
Sure, yeah.
It was a difficult decision because it was a highly risky thing to do. But we really believed we had a shared vision. Mm-hmm. And my husband believes in me as mm-hmm. a cheesemaker and mm-hmm. as the director of everything at Bleeding Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, you know, it was a joint decision, you mm-hmm. know, because I didn't have enough money on my own. He had to put in a lot of money, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can never thank him enough for believing in me enough mm-hmm. to do that. And that cliche that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I can tell you that absolutely 100% mm-hmm. applied in our case. We thought we were doing a good job before, and I still believe that I think we were probably doing a little bit better than a lot of people do, but you can never be too careful. And so we learned a lot lot more about the extra precautions you need to take in the realm of food safety.
Right.
And we implemented those changes. We spent that first year back in production in 2015 kind of living in fear every day. We mm-hmm. were all traumatized by it.
Yeah.
And
you had post-traumatic stress disorder,
absolutely.
All of you, probably.
Yeah. I was having panic attacks every day the month after the recall. And I didn't know if I could pick my... At first, I didn't know if I could pick myself back up and, mm-hmm. and keep, you know, going mm-hmm. forward because my team, you know, looks to me. I'm the captain of this cheese ship, right? And so if I can't stop shaking and crying, how can I get people pumped up to, you know, okay, you guys, come on, it's time to make some more cheese. But I did.
Right.
I did.
Well, you tell them it's okay to shake and cry, but then we got to get to work.
Yeah, yeah. So I did, pick myself back up and, mm-hmm. and you know, regain composure and had to, you know, give myself a lot of pep talks. But I had to keep telling myself, you can do this. You mm-hmm. got this. And mm-hmm.
And it's such a great cure for the what ails you to succeed. I mean,
yes,
to make the cheese again and to succeed. And now this is like icing on the cake.
This is, for us, the ultimate redemption.
Yes.
So
yes.
I know we didn't come in first.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. Just to even be in the best of show slate is
amazing. Yeah. Well, I coincidentally went to the Listeria workshop mm-hmm. and didn't know what I was going to find there, but it was two scientists and Shauna talking about her real life Listeria problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so honest and open and helpful and scary that where Listeria hides.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know like all those things that you mentioned.
Well, I'm glad that you learned something because that was my goal.
Scary.
It's somewhat cathartic for me to actually get up and talk about that.
Yeah.
And so I thought if I could try to find any shred of something positive out of this
to help
crisis,
other people. Yeah.
Is if I can take what we learned from our experience and share it with others so that they don't have to go through what we went going through, then it makes it okay for me to talk about it. And it is hard. It's always hard. I'll be honest with you. It is hard to get up there and talk about it. But every time I do it, it gets a little bit easier because then I get to talk to people who tell me that they learned something from me sharing. And I really, you know, we all love to talk about how, you know, when we win awards or if we get a new account and how much cheese we're selling. But it's not very often that cheesemakers talk so openly about their problems and their struggles. And I really feel that that's an important part of being in this community because we all have problems and we all have struggles. But we don't like to talk about it. We feel embarrassed or shameful. And so I hope that by me getting up and talking about our problems might encourage other people to do the same.
Or do a better swab for Listeria.
Well, that too. That's essential.
I mean, I mean, I didn't know it could live so long. I didn't know where it was hiding. Yeah, the scientists really scare you, too.
Yeah, they're amazing. I handpicked those guys because they're so smart and so knowledgeable. Dr. Dennis D'Amico and Dr. Martin Weidman, they are amazing resources.
They were both great.
But I felt like I needed to tell my story to bring all that technical information home.
Yes, it really underlined it. It was like starting to fall asleep with the science and then boom. You come on the stage and, like, wake everyone up.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I was able to wake you up.
Anyway, well, thank you very much for talking to me, and I want to congratulate you again. It's been delightful to meet you. And
thank you.
This is Diane Stemple, Cutting the Curd from Des Moines.
Thank you very much to everyone who has supported us since we started Bleating Heart. I really appreciate it.
Great. Hi, this is Diane Stemple from the American Cheese Society meeting in Des Moines. I am sitting with Jeff Jurek from Caves of Faribault, and he won third place. There was a tie for Jeff Select Gouda. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been the last 24 hours. I've just been kind of walking on air. It's a pretty big honor.
I can imagine. Have you won before?
Well, we've won ribbons before, which are
best in category.
Yes. Right. But this is the first time that we've been placed in best of show.
Excellent. Excellent. So you're to our listeners who haven't been to the judging competition, it really is a supreme honor to be in the best of show category because that means you're one of the top cheeses in America this year out of 1,800 cheeses.
Exactly.
So it's it means something.
Exactly. And the format of the judging, you know, the ACS judging is unique in that we have a technical judge and an aesthetic judge. So it's quite a fun competition.
It covers all bases.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So as you're sitting down at the award ceremony.
Yes.
Before you have any information, you don't know how you've done, what are you thinking and feeling? Are you hoping to win? Are you...
Okay, so this is my 14th conference, and, you know, when it first came in 2002, and what's going through your mind is you're hoping like heck that everything arrived in good condition, and you're hoping that it showed well, because as a beginning cheesemaker, that kind of recognition is kind of it really helps you with getting sales at retail and establishing credibility. It's like one of the winners said today when she was being interviewed, she said, you know, I finally feel like I know what I'm talking about as a cheesemaker, you know, it just establishes credibility.
You've gotten the acclaim of your peers.
Yes. You know, and there's that. And most of us cheesemakers were a little bit nervous before the contest. And in fact, that's how come over the years we've developed having a bar area available.
For the nerves of the cheesemakers.
Just get you settled down a little bit.
Because it does start at 5, so, you know, that's time to drink.
No, exactly. You know, and beer and cheese go so good together.
Right. Okay, now, how many cheeses did you submit this year?
The Caves of Faribault submitted about 5 cheeses, and, you know, of course, our mainstays are our blues.
Yes, I saw that online. The Gouda's new?
Well, yeah, the Gouda, we started doing affinage at the Caves back about 2006, and it was just, it started off mainly as a curiosity because, you know, we always want to keep learning.
Right.
And then we realized the Caves of Faribault have the potential to really unlock potential in great cheeses. We think it's because the cave conditions favor NISLAB, non-starter lactic acid bacteria, mm-hmm. to re-stimulate. The cheeses really come alive. They love the 99% humidity and 52 degrees. And the other thing is, it's crazy, but, you know...
Is it mostly blue in the cave?
Yes.
So something about the blue then imparts a cool effect on the Goudas.
Exactly. Well,
or so the other cheeses.
As Sister Noella used to say, first yeast, then mold.
Mm-hmm.
So our caves have... They started out as breweries in 1856.
Oh.
They're for lagering beer. Mm-hmm. So it didn't switch. It became America's first blue plant in 1936. So... Mm. There's a lot of history there of those beer fermenting yeasts.
Right.
And they seem to work their magic on Goudas. They just, they love them.
Okay, cool, cool. So now when you were sitting there, did you think before any awards were giving out, maybe the Gouda will win?
Yes, because Jeff's, I apologize, I didn't, you're always hopeful it'll win because you bring your best stuff.
Right.
What was fun about Jeff Select is...
Isn't it named for you?
Well, it's actually named... It's J-E-F-F-S apostrophe.
Oh, is it more than one Jeff?
Yes, it's Jeff Weidman.
Maple Leaf. Right. Oh, so you're both listed as the original cheesemaker. Oh, that's cool.
So
I did not notice where the apostrophe was.
Yeah, the judges were calling it Jeff Says. I like that.
To tease you?
Oh, just to have fun. Oh. We're fun people. We're Minnesotans, eh? Jeff makes it. Jeff's actually been retired now for about a year and a half, and we started this back in 2006 and found that the caves really do get his Goudas lit up and made at Maple Leaf in Wisconsin in Twin Grove. And we bring them to the caves after they've been aged about a year, and we light them up.
Okay, okay. Have you talked to him? Is he here?
Oh, yes, he's here.
Oh, great, great. Did he come up with you?
I'm sorry, he left. Oh. He left about noon.
Oh, okay, okay. So he won't be at the festival to enjoy his accomplishment?
Nope.
Okay, cool, cool. So, okay, so you're sitting there. Did you get any other firsts?
Not this year.
Okay. So you knew your only chance was that cheese.
Right. And what was the drama at this year's contest was pretty high.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time that four cheeses in a single class got a first place.
That was
four cheeses with perfect scores. So many of us in the crowd were like, okay.
Oh, gosh.
It was class B, E or something. So it was... Way early, and we're like, there's your best to show. It's going to be those four.
Right, right, right. Or one of them. Yeah. Right, right. Oh, but probably a lot of cheeses get 100. You just don't know till you get your paper back.
Correct.
It just was unusual for four in one category to have 100.
Yes. But I have talked to several of the cheesemakers, and we all had the same reaction.
Oh, okay. So you thought, like, oh, too much competition. Yep. Now this is tough.
Might as well just go to the bar now.
Okay. How long have you been making this cheese? 2006, did you say?
Yes. Jeff's been making Gouda since 1981.
And it's been in the competition?
I don't know how long he added in the competition. Mm-hmm. We started entering it at about 2012.
Okay.
Had some issues at first because on Jeff Select we... actually color the rind a little bit to help highlight the rough characteristics of the rind.
Mm-hmm.
And because ACS is so technical, there was some concern whether that was an additional ingredient or not.
Oh, because, what is the coloring?
Well, it's annatto. It's the same as all of cheese.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it took a while to figure out those technicalities.
Okay, where it belonged or...
Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, congratulations. It's great to talk to you, and I'll see you at the festival tonight.
Well, thank you, and thank your listeners for supporting American Cheese. We really appreciate it. We love it.
Okay, great. This is Diane Stempel from Cutting the Curd. I'm at ACS interviewing Chris Rowley, though I call him Rowelli because it's spelled R-O-E-L-L-I, but some of you probably know how to say it right. And he won Best in Show for Little Mountain from his cheese company. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You must be pinching yourself still?
We're still on cloud nine here, yeah.
My listeners mostly know what best in show means, so I don't have to go into it. But yesterday, as you sat down at the awards ceremony, when you had no info, what were you thinking? Were there particular cheeses you had hopes for?
You know, I had two cheeses entered.
Only two?
Our Dunbarton Blue and the Little Mountain.
I know Dunbarton Blue more than Little Mountain.
Yeah, Little Mountain's one of our newer ones. It's a couple year, almost 3 years old now, but we don't make very much of it.
Okay.
But kind of long story short, I honestly told some people yesterday that I wasn't feeling it.
I had
no expectations because the bar is so high at this show. I'm confident in our abilities as a cheesemaker, but you know, I just wasn't.
You were not expecting.
I wasn't
much
in the groove. No.
Were you in the back?
We were kind of sitting with the Wisconsin delegate.
Okay.
About halfway back.
Okay. Okay. So the particular cheeses you selected hadn't wowed you, or you just
no?
Are they fairly consistent?
You know, they're very consistent as artisan cheese can be.
Right.
But it was more of just a personal gut feeling.
Okay.
You know, it was
okay.
Just kind of one of them days that just you know you weren't. I just wasn't.
Right.
So when they called our name.
Now, first you win best in the category.
Yes.
So was that a surprise?
Yes, because it's one of the toughest categories in the whole competition.
Which category is it?
It's the open class cow's milk wash rind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
42%.
A tough one. That's
it's a very tough one. Well, you got cheeses like Terre and Taste and Pleasant Ridge Reserve and Grand Cru.
Previous winners, many previous winners.
Yes.
Wow, so that's a good category.
It's an extremely difficult category to do well in. So.
Okay, so then you win the first, and then are you then do you get optimistic? Then does your
the nerves kicked in at that point, but you know, earlier in the show, they were talking about some 100-point cheeses, and
right,
you know, I just kind of...
Right. I heard that made everyone's hopes die.
It kind of deflated a little bit, but you know, it was 100% a surprise.
Oh, cool.
100% a surprise.
Oh, cool. That makes it even better.
Yeah.
Now, if you were giving an Oscar thank you speech at the awards, who would you thank?
First and foremost, I would thank my wife, Christine. And then
is she here?
Yes, she is.
Oh,
she
got, wonderful!
She was here with me for it, so it's pretty
does
awesome.
She always come, or did she come because you're
no,
close?
No, she does not always come to these things. So this was a big deal. And, you know, it was... Somebody's asking me, I'm thanking my family. And then everybody who's ever given us advice, everybody who's ever taken a chance on us, and everybody who's ever invested in us, and everybody who's ever told me, you know, this could be done better. You know, those are the people that I'm so thankful for.
Cool. So you like help. You like advice and help.
I'll take advice and help all the time. You know, going through the Master Cheesemakers program at the Center for Dairy Research in Madison has made me a much better cheesemaker.
When did you go through that?
2 years ago now.
Oh. Boy, I just hit a button. I hope that didn't mess things up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. Now, what effect will this have on your business? Do you have enough of this stuff to sell?
I've got some. I don't have enough, as I'm told. they're telling me that it's a pretty big bump, but it's unprecedented. Our cheese is coming in different stages. I have... X amount of wheels in certain different stages of production.
How long does this cheese usually take to age?
Anywhere from 8 months up to 14.
Cheese.
We're going to go home and go right back to work.
Is it all year? It's made all year?
No, generally towards the autumn, late summer milk. So I'll make for a period of months late summer into autumn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said this is a fairly new cheese?
Yes. Not quite even 3 years old yet.
Okay, and what is it? I don't know this cheese. What does it taste like? What is it? Is it a mountain cheese?
It is an Alpage Mountain style cheese, made in the tradition of an Appenzeller Swiss style.
Okay, Okay. I look forward to tasting it tonight. I hope there's enough at the festival.
I hope so, too. I'm pretty sure that it's a good-sized wheel.
There good. So congratulations again. Best in show. Amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, thanks
for being on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities and you'll be entered to win dinner and two tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.